This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Abject failure. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Wednesday, June 22nd. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The head of Texas State Police criticized the response to the school shooting in Uvalde, saying the gunman could have been stopped in 3 minutes.
The Senate has begun debating a gun control measure. Lawmakers hope it clears the upper chamber before next week's recess.
Another day of primary races. We'll have election results from closely watched races in Alabama, Virginia, and Washington, D.C.
And just as the government out $1 trillion in infrastructure spending, there's a labor shortage in the construction industry.
Construction has been especially tight because of a lot of reasons. Lots of retirements, it's sort of an older workforce, and then, you know, in recent decades, younger people have been reluctant to get into an industry that they see as dirty and not quite as comfortable of an option as other jobs that pay $20, $25 an hour.
Julie Bykowitz at the Wall Street Journal on the desperate search for construction workers. Let's start first recapping more primary results. Republican voters in Alabama selected Katie Britt as their nominee for Senate in a runoff. She had the unique distinction of being endorsed by former President Trump and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Ms. Britt defeated Congressman Mo Brooks.
Alabama has spoken. We want new blood. We want fresh blood. We want someone who will fight for our Christian conservative values.
Elsewhere, Virginia GOP voters pick nominees to face two vulnerable congressional Democrats this fall. According to the AP, former Navy pilot Jen Kiggins beat three other Republicans to face off against incumbent Elaine Loria. And Prince William County Supervisor Yesley Vega will take on incumbent Abigail Spanberger. In Washington, D.C., Mayor Muriel Bowser won her Democratic primary, putting her in a strong position to win a third term in that Democratic stronghold. The House Select Committee investigating the attack on the U.S. Capitol has held its fourth hearing. Yesterday, it examined former President Trump's attempts to challenge the election results in Georgia, Arizona, and other states in the weeks after the November election. Republican officials and states President Biden narrowly won recalled how Mr. Trump pressured them to try to alter the results of the election. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger spoke of finding minimal fraud.
We found two dead people when I wrote my letter to Congress that stated January 6th, and subsequent to that, we found two more. That's one, two, three, four people, not 4,000, but just a total of four, not 10,000, not 5,000.
Shay Moss is a local Georgia poll worker who received death threats.
Telling me that, you know, I'll be in jail with my mother and saying things like, be glad it's 2020 and not 1920.
The Select Committee wants to show that Mr. Trump was made aware that his claims of election fraud were unfounded and risked causing violence. Mr. Trump has denied any wrongdoing. Debate is underway in the U.S. Senate on bipartisan gun control legislation. It's expected to continue at least through the rest of the week. Lawmakers who worked on the bill said they hope to have it pass the Senate before the chamber breaks next week for a two-week recess. Among other things, the bill would set up a $750 million fund to help states put in place and enforce extreme protection orders known as red flag laws that allow firearms to be removed if a person is deemed dangerous to themselves or others. Texas Republican John Cornyn.
If a 17-year-old is convicted of a violent crime or adjudicated as mentally incompetent, that information should show up in the background check system if he tries to purchase a firearm when he turns 18.
Separately, the head of the Texas State Police yesterday called the law enforcement response to the Uvalde school shooting an abject failure. He said just minutes after a gunman began shooting children last month, the officers at the scene had enough firepower and protective equipment to storm into the classrooms.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. By the way, if you've missed anything, check out a podcast of today's show. It's available every day on the This Morning with Gordon Deal app, plus Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Facing pressure to do something legislatively to curb skyrocketing gas prices, President Biden today is reportedly planning to call for a temporary suspension of the federal gasoline tax.
Is it going to, in fact, make it difficult to maintain our roads? The answer is we have plenty of capacity to do that.
While it might provide some short-term relief, the gas tax holiday has plenty of critics. Insight from Joey Garrison, White House reporter at USA Today. Joey, explain.
The main problem, the people who oppose this move, and again, this would be suspending a federal tax of 18.4 cents per gallon of gas. It's 24.4 cents for diesel. A Democratic proposal earlier this year had it suspended for the remainder of the year. And the biggest problem skeptics have is that it's just really not that much savings. All that the entire 18.4 cents studies have shown, wouldn't go be passed on totally to the consumer. It'd really be more like 15 cents or so. And when you're talking that gas prices that are already $5 a gallon in many states, you're really talking about, not a substantial decrease. I mean, a study recently from the University of Pennsylvania found that there are three states that have implemented gas tax holidays individually for their states, Maryland, Connecticut, and Georgia. And it did find the majority of the tax rebate essentially was passed on to consumers and not held up by oil companies or filling stations. But again, you're talking about a limited amount of revenue. So that's number one. Second is the fact that, it would deplete essentially the highway trust fund of revenue that it gets. This money that goes to pay for transportation projects, highway projects. And then third, a lot of critics note that, gas tax is already a lot smaller than a lot of other developed nations. It hasn't been increased since 1993. So you're talking about getting rid of, really kind of strangling our ability to pay for infrastructure, if you were to get rid of, even for a year or so, of the gas tax.
Yeah. So it is a tax cut, I guess, or tax break after all. How come more Republicans in Washington aren't on board with something like this?
Yeah, I mean, you raise a good point. I mean, usually tax, Republicans are the first in line to get behind a tax reduction. But, they call this an election gimmick. Republicans were resoundingly against it when it was proposed earlier this year as just not a long-term solution for fighting inflation. And, economists also note, hey, at some point, you have to return the gas tax, and so effectively be like a 18-cent tax increase that would be returned. So, there are a lot of critics out there about this plan and or this possibility. And I think the reason Biden is looking at it right now is just because there are so few levers that he has at his disposal to quickly change, lower prices. This would be, one of the easiest to do if you were able to pass it through Congress. That, of course, would be a challenge in itself. But, it is something that you heard Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, on the Sunday shows, say that they were, something that needed to be considered. President Biden was asked about it Monday during his trip to Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and he said they would have a decision by the end of this week.
Mm. We're speaking with Joey Garrison, White House reporter at USA Today. His piece is called "Biden Weighs a Gas Tax Holiday: How Much Would Consumers Really Save?" I guess too, the president's desperate to show like he is trying to do something.
Yeah, and so much of the and of the levers to deal with inflation are by the Federal Reserve, and you know they've raised interest rates to try to cool down and lower some of the borrowing among consumers to help fight it. The president has talked about how he's giving full independence and not going to interfere. Publicly about what the Fed should do or shouldn't do, and that's obviously a contrast to how President Trump handled that. But yeah, this would again, a gas tax holiday would be something that he could show real in kind of the most public way, obvious way to Americans that hey, I understand that it's a painful experience right now at the pump, and I'm trying to do something about it.
What about gas rebate cards? That was floated recently, wasn't it?
Yeah, so that's something President Biden confirmed that it's something that's a possibility. The Washington Post reported over the weekend that a chip shortage, though, has complicated that effort. The specifics of this plan are lacking right now. Like, would this be, how much money we're talking about? What would the rebate be for Americans? But I think the chip that actually would go in the card to produce for hundreds of millions of Americans who use fuel, it might be an effort that is too daunting to undertake.
Here's Joey Garrison, White House reporter at USA Today. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Senate has begun debate on bipartisan legislation intended to curb gun violence in what would represent the first major federal change to gun laws in decades. Senators cleared the simple majority threshold required to advance the package 64 to 34. Final passage would need at least 60 votes. Democratic Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut is a lead negotiator.
We are closing the boyfriend's loophole. And what we know is that in states that have taken this step already, there are 10% fewer intimate partner deaths. This is an incredibly important step forward.
Lawmakers who worked on the bill say they hope to have it pass the Senate before the chamber breaks next week for a two-week recess.
Number two.
An earthquake struck eastern Afghanistan early today, killing at least 280 people. Information remains scarce on the magnitude 6 trembler that struck Paktika province, but it comes as the international community largely has left Afghanistan after the Taliban takeover of the country last year. That likely will complicate any relief effort to the country of 38 million people.
Number three.
A plane carrying 126 people caught fire at Miami International yesterday when landing gear collapsed. Though no serious injuries were reported, this passenger says there was lots of shaking and yelling when the plane skidded.
The airplane just went off the runway, and then we saw fire on the right engine.
The fire followed the collapse of the front landing gear on a Red Air flight arriving from the Dominican Republic. Three people were treated for minor injuries. The Supreme Court has shot down a state prohibition on using public money to attend schools that offer religious instruction. The latest case in which the High Court has permitted taxpayer funds to be used for religious purposes. At issue was an unusual program in Maine that provides subsidies for education in rural districts that don't have their own high school. For the third year in a row, Los Alamos County, New Mexico has been cited as the healthiest community in the country by U.S. News and CBS Health. Communities were evaluated on dozens of metrics, including health, education, infrastructure, and climate equity. Also ranking high, Falls Church, Virginia, Douglas County, Colorado, and Morgan County, Utah. Communities with the lowest scores were found in Mississippi, Louisiana, and Arkansas.
All right. Thank you, Jen. Roughly 41% of U.S. adults who have a side job this year need the extra income to pay for everyday living expenses, as compared to 31% back in 2019. Behind the data with Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at Bankrate.com. Ted, give us takeaways.
I think the real highlights are, one, that fewer people are side hustling now versus pre-pandemic. That actually surprised me. But the other big thing is that when people are side hustling, they're much more likely to be doing it for day-to-day necessities, which was a big jump. So a lot less people doing this for disposable income or to boost their savings. Not that many are using this money to pay down debt. It's primarily a day-to-day expenses kind of story.
Wow, which points, I guess, directly to inflation without, I guess, overstating the obvious.
I think that is a huge part of it, yeah. I think also, sometimes we forget because we have other worries in the economy, the job market is actually one of the best it's been in about 50 years. And we do see a very low unemployment rate. We've seen wage growth be strong, although not as strong as inflation. So it's interesting because, you know, on one hand, we have people side hustling just to make it. And that's a more difficult kind of scenario. I think there's also a more optimistic side of this, which is the passion project. And people, especially I'll say young adults, doing this because they have some skills or some interests that they're trying to further. And hey, who knows? Maybe it turns into the next big thing.
All right. So who's doing it mostly?
Young adults really stood out. 43% of younger millennials. So that's 26 to 32 year olds in our study. And I think it does fill both of those categories we just mentioned. I think some of it is you've got kids maybe, or you're buying a home or paying off student loans. You've got financial pressure. The other side of it, though, I do think is more of the entrepreneurial side. And I think the pandemic actually provided kind of a tailwind here, that we did see a lot of people sort of reevaluating life and work. And you know, maybe you didn't want to go back to the same industry that you were in before, or you want to keep your options open. I tend to think the most successful side hustles these days are things that you can do from home, not kind of the classic rideshare and food delivery because of high gas prices.
We're speaking with Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at Bankrate.com. They've got a new survey that finds more American adults are using a side hustle to generate income just to cover living expenses. How much, generally speaking, do folks earn with a side gig?
The average is about $1,000 a month, and the median is $400. Both of those are up pretty substantially from 2019. Back then, the average was $839 a month, and the median was $150. We saw a huge gender divide here. So the gender pay gap definitely extends to side hustles. We found that among men, the average side hustle income is about $1,500 per month. For women, it's just $571.
And that's, I mean, is it possible men are just working more hours or not necessarily?
We looked into that and there wasn't really a big difference. So you do have to wonder, you know, is there outright sexism going on here? Is it maybe the kinds of jobs that people are working? That was actually super fragmented. When we looked into that, nothing really stood out.
Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at Bankrate. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
This is America's First News, preparing you for the day ahead with headlines and in-depth analysis. This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Wednesday, June 22. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The Senate is closer to passing a gun bill. A Trump-backed candidate wins the GOP nomination for Senate in Alabama. President Biden expected today to call for suspension of the federal gas tax. Oil prices fell more than $6 a barrel earlier today. Uber has announced the return of shared rides in select cities. Michigan's governor raising eyebrows for referring to women as, quote, menstruating people. During a recent political call, football star Rob Gronkowski retiring again, and advice from a retiring veteran teacher in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. Construction projects across the U.S. are running short on labor, just as $1 trillion in federal infrastructure money starts to kick in, leading companies to get creative in their quest to attract and retain workers. Examples from Julie Bykowitz, national politics reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Julie, take us through it.
Well, as everyone knows, prices for just about everything are up, and that does not leave the construction industry untouched. So they're dealing with things like raw materials being more expensive, fuel being more expensive, and then, of course, they have labor issues as well. It's a tight labor market, and construction has been especially tight because of a lot of reasons. Lots of retirements, it's sort of an older workforce, and then, you know, in recent decades, younger people have been reluctant to get into an industry that they see as dirty and not quite as comfortable of an option as other, you know, jobs that pay $20-$25 an hour. So the problem there is that we've got an existing labor shortage bumping up against a historic level of federal spending to build things like roads and bridges and transit systems. So I just talked to companies all across the country to see what they're doing to, you know, find these rare workers, train them, and keep them, importantly.
Yeah. All right. So you spoke to Central Florida Transport. What are they up against?
Well, in Florida, this company realized it was having nearly 100% turnover of its drivers. These are the guys who take aggregate to be processed into the things that make our roads. And so in addition to, you know, increasing wages, which is just a given at this point in the industry, they also, for the first time this year, began offering 401ks. They've found that to be quite popular among their employees. And then, you know, they really beefed up their human resources department, just kind of finding that in addition to the pay and benefits issue, drivers, you know, would sort of find any reason to walk away from the job, whether it's, you know, they need to deal with some health issues or truck maintenance. And so what their human resources workers started doing is just helping them with some of those daily scheduling tasks, just anything to try to keep the drivers happy and coming in and clocking into work.
How about that? On the other side of the country, how about this, the Tucson asphalt contractors?
Yeah, well, so in these warmer places like Arizona and Florida, one advantage is that construction jobs outside can run year-round. That's something that in the Northeast and Midwest, where we have chillier temperatures in the winter months, you literally can't pour concrete at some points in the year. So a couple companies I talked to, including this one in Tucson, told me how they what they like to do is sort of watch the weather forecast, and then when there's a big snowstorm up in the Northeast, they'll actually target some employment ads, you know, saying, hey, we've got great weather down here, and, you know, more importantly to you, that means you can work 12 months of the year rather than eight. It's a big pay difference if you're able to be on the job year-round versus just in 8 or 9 months, like up north.
Yeah. We're speaking with Julie Bykowitz, national politics reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Her story is called Labor Shortage Stymies Construction Work as $1 trillion infrastructure spending kicks in. How about apprenticeships? Are they part of this?
Yeah, apprenticeships are a big part of it. Unions are doing them. They've done them for ages, and so they're getting some extra funding to help build out those programs. Individual companies are banding together to start their own sort of apprenticeship programs, more partnerships between community colleges and even, you know, public high schools and things like that to just to try to kind of get younger people interested in, you know, what people are saying are good paying jobs with lots of future work, no danger of losing your job anytime soon if you go into construction. So you're starting to see more of that, and that's what Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg and other federal officials like to talk about, is how, you know, not only do we have this short-term issue, but since infrastructure funding will be flowing for the next 10 years, you know, we want to think ahead and try to build out the ranks 3, 5, 7 years away.
Thanks, Julie. Julie Bykowitz, national politics reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, the weed-whacking neighbor who deliberately disrupted a home wedding.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, football fans know that both Tom Brady and his pass-catching partner Rob Gronkowski have told us that they are retiring before, only to suit up again. So you can understand why many people are skeptical that Gronk will stay on the sidelines after announcing yesterday that he's retiring for the second time. In fact, Gronk's own agent doesn't believe that he's done for good, saying that the future Hall of Famer could come out of retirement during the season, quote, if Tom Brady calls him during the season. That admission likely got Brady's phone buzzing, and of course, he immediately took to Twitter to respond. Brady quoted the agent and added a meme of someone with a phone up to their ear making a call, indicating that the call from Brady to Gronk to get him to come back and catch touchdowns could come sooner rather than later.
How about this coming during the season, potentially?
Well, yeah, well, that's right? What they're talking about,
six weeks in or something, yeah. Would be just odd.
In fact, 6 weeks sounds about right. I'm putting the over-under at about October 15th for this to happen. You know, again, somebody gets injured, you know, the Bucks are struggling. Brady's struggling a little bit. He needs Gronk back to kind of grease the wheels a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. There's only so many athletes, though, get to make this kind of story.
Yeah, oh,
where
yeah,
you're
sure.
Retiring again. Brady is one of them.
Right.
I'm not sure Gronk qualifies. Right. As so much.
Well, only because
I guess because of his ties
to
Brady.
Yeah, as it relates to Brady, because Brady loves him and, you know, will do anything to basically bring him back. They said, you know, you should say that, you know, Julian Edelman is coming back so that, you know, the three of you can be together, you know, whatever you have to do to get Gronk to come back.
Right. This will be some drama worth watching for sure.
Yes. And a small, cozy wedding at home may sound like a great idea, especially if you want to save money, but there are plenty of potential pitfalls. Some of which could come from your annoying neighbors. One couple found this out recently when they say their wedding was ruined by a neighbor who purposefully cut her lawn while the ceremony was taking place. A wedding guest who filmed the incident has claimed the so-called Karen began firing up her weed whacker as soon as the bride's song started to play and continued cutting throughout the duration of the ceremony, despite being asked to stop. And it was so loud that guests couldn't hear the vows being exchanged. The video has been watched nearly 400,000 times on TikTok, and commenters had some suggestions on how the couple could fight back, including blaring loud music from Slipknot in the direction of the neighbor's house, or perhaps learning how to play the drums.
Ah.
Yeah.
Or don't learn how to play the drums.
Right.
And just make it an absolute racket all the time with no beats or organization at all.
That's the good part about the drums. You don't have to learn how to play them. You just start banging
just
on them.
Just make noise.
Right, right. Pretend you're learning how to play.
Boy, what is this woman's problem, by the way?
I don't know. She could see the camera on her even and didn't even just kind of gave it a dirty look and kept on going.
Well, that is weird. I don't know if there's something else going on between neighbors, but that is about as rude and nasty as it gets.
Yeah, I mean, there can be some nasty fights between neighbors.
Yeah.
We know this. But, you know, that bad that you're going to, you know, ruin their entire wedding because of it?
This is in New Brunswick, Canada.
Okay.
Just remind me not to anger those people with whatever I say or do.
Yeah, I thought they were friendlier up there than we were down here. I don't know. It doesn't sound like a very Canadian thing to do.
It's a bizarre story. Thank you, Mike.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better? Or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. For many Americans planning a summer trip after COVID disruptions the last 2 years, there remains a key question. Should I buy travel insurance? CBS News says experts advise against signing up for flight protection plans offered as add-ons at checkout when booking on websites. Those can be narrow and might only cover trips canceled for unseen sickness or injury. So here are some things to keep in mind. First, find out what your existing health and car insurance already cover before purchasing additional coverage. Second, know what your credit card might already offer. Generally, credit card issuers will require you to have paid for your flight or hotel with their card to be eligible for reimbursement if your trip goes awry. Third rule of thumb, trip coverage policies cost 3 to 8% of the cost of the trip. Fourth, websites including World Nomads, Insure My Trip, Squaremouth, and Battleface are trusted by experts and allow you to compare plans and coverage, as well as select add-ons such as cancel for any reason insurance. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The chief of the Texas Department of Public Safety says officers at an elementary school in Uvalde last month had nothing barring them from entering a dual classroom where a shooter was actively gunning down students and teachers. During a hearing before a state committee yesterday, DPS Director Stephen McCross said the classroom door was not locked.
Terrible decisions were made by the on-scene commander and should have never happened.
McCross said armed police officers were on the scene within 3 minutes. Even had the door been secured, McCross says officers had tools to break it open, yet they waited an hour and 14 minutes to go into the classroom despite hearing ongoing gunshots.
Number two.
Republican officials and state's President Biden narrowly won recalled how former President Trump pressured them to try to alter the results of the election. In testimony yesterday before the House committee investigating the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot, Rusty Bowers, the Republican Speaker of the Arizona House, testified that Trump insisted he won Arizona.
Anywhere, anyone, anytime has said that I said the election was rigged. That would not be true.
The hearing also explored efforts by Republicans in disputed states to submit false slates of electors to Congress ahead of January 6th.
Number three.
Republican voters in Alabama have selected Katie Britt as their nominee for Senate in the runoff primary election after receiving the endorsement of former President Trump. Britt, the former chief of staff of retiring Senator Richard Shelby, defeated Congressman Mo Brooks, who had Trump's endorsement for more than a year before he backed Britt instead. Jurors at a civil trial have determined Bill Cosby sexually abused a 16-year-old girl at the Playboy Mansion in 1975. The Los Angeles County jury delivered the verdict in favor of Judy Huth and awarded her $500,000.
It's been torture. It has. Just to be ripped apart, you know, thrown under the bus, backed over, and this to me is such a big victory. It really is. To all victims.
Huth's lawsuit was one of the last remaining legal claims against Cosby. When have you heard this one before? We aren't saving enough for retirement. According to a new survey from Sagewell Financial, 30% of people between 55 and 67 have less than $10,000 saved for retirement, 40% had less than $50,000, and 70% said they plan to or are willing to work in retirement.
Oh, man. Thank you, Jen. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to follow us on social media, including on our newly updated Instagram page. You can find us there at This Morning with Gordon Deal. A retiring Michigan teacher received a standing O at a Grand Rapids high school on her last day of classes, an emotional moment that's gone viral on TikTok. Video of the send-off for English teacher Sheridan Steelman has received over 6 million views. The footage, a combination of two videos, features Ms. Steelman being greeted with cheers and applause from students and teachers who form two long lines at Northview High School's first floor, leading to the front doors. She's seen reacting in surprise, wiping away tears as Principal Mark Thomas leads her toward the crowd. Asked what advice she would give to younger teachers, she says, when you're there in the classroom, just have fun and be yourself. She said, students remember how they are treated. They remember the funny things that you talk about in class. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.